Essam Dorma, from the opera Turandot. I Will Conquer, I Will Conquer. Welcome to Healthy Vision, the talk radio show to help you conquer your vision loss. Dr. Edward Kondrat is a board-certified ophthalmologist and homeopathic doctor, author of two best-selling books, and sought-after speaker. Healthy Vision is dedicated to bringing you the latest information for a lifetime of healthy sight and to help you conquer your eye problems. And now, your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat.
Welcome to Healthy Vision, and thank you so much for tuning in. This is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat, and I'm here to help you conquer your vision loss. Right now, I'm broadcasting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and those of you that are in the Western Pennsylvania listening area, tomorrow evening, May the 9th, I'll be lecturing with Dr. Dennis Courtney in his office from 6 to 8 p.m. So those of you that would like to join both myself and Dr. Courtney, please give the office a call to reserve your place. That's 800-430-9328. But for this show, I have a very exciting guest, Professor Abraham Chaim from Israel. And, Professor, I have to thank you so much for getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to be on Healthy Vision. Hello?
Yeah, not going to sleep.
Okay, we better keep the show very active, otherwise you're going to go to sleep.
Okay.
But I remember I heard you first speak in Amsterdam last year, and speaking of sleeping, after your presentation, I could not sleep that night. It was just so mind-shattering, and I said to myself, oh my goodness, more people need to know this information. And I heard you again in San Diego at the conference, the Syntonic Conference on Light. And, you know, once again, your presentation impressed me so much. So thank you so much for joining us on Healthy Vision. And maybe you could tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, and your expertise in the field of light.
Okay, first of all, thank you very much, Dr. Kondrat, for having me on your program. I'm a professor at the University of Haifa, and my academic profession was in environmental physiology, when I started thinking some years ago that measuring physiological variables, not on a scale of time within the day or in the year, doesn't mean too much, because our body changes within 24 hours, all the functions. And we have annual changes, what we call seasonality. And in a further step, we started asking, what is the meaning of going on measuring seasonality and daily rhythms when the light-dark cycles, which are the main, or photoperiod, which is the main zeitgeber for our biological clock, doesn't exist anymore in many parts of the world, like in big cities where we are exposed to light at night. And this is what we have been doing for about the last 12 years, studying the impact of exposure to light at night.
In fact, you made the comment that probably the most dramatic environmental change in the last 130 years is this phenomena of light at night. And, you know, most people are aware of, pollution of the air, water pollution, heavy metals, problems with our food. But my goodness, light at night. Maybe you could define exactly what is light at night.
Okay, the night needs to be the dark period of the 24-hour cycle. And if it is interfered with light, it may have a negative effect on animals and on humans. But let me make myself clear. When Edison came out with his first bulb, the light intensity wasn't very high, and the wavelengths were 550 or even more within the yellow to the red. The modern bulbs that we are using today, the intensity is much higher and the wavelength is much shorter, which has a negative effect on our health. And I say that's true. The most dramatic or the most impressive change that took place by humans was light at night, because, as I said, night had to be dark. And I think that our planet went through warmer or cooler periods, but it never went through such a period where the light disappeared in many places in the world. So the question is, what are the impacts of such a change on animals and on humans? And as our audience are humans, I'm sure they will be more interested knowing what may happen to humans being exposed to light at night.
Yeah, and that's what we really need to emphasize to our listeners, the dangers of light at night. And because of you and listening to your lecture and reading the articles that you have published, part of my history now is very carefully discussing with people their sleep patterns at night. Are they sleeping in a dark room? How much time do they spend on a computer, television? What type of lighting they have in their room? And I feel that very strongly that one of the most important things that people can do who are losing their eyesight and have health issues is to have darkness at night. So let's talk about what are the shocking findings that you came up with?
Okay. Let me maybe start with a small introduction. Who became aware of the problem in regards to humans were people working with shift workers. As shift workers are exposed to light at night, it's a special population, and they are exposed mainly to short wavelength illumination, as we don't want, for instance, nurses to fall asleep in hospital when they are on their shift. So being exposed to short wave illumination at night will keep them on alert and they won't fall asleep. So when we are looking today what happens in our sleeping habitat, many people like sleeping with lights close to their bedroom, or even inside their bedroom. And when you open the window and you live in a city, you are actually exposed to light coming into your bedroom, or what we call sleeping habitat, from outside. Now, we must remember that our eyelids are not barriers for light. Light, and mainly, again, the short wavelength can penetrate very easily through the eyelids, and then for 6 or 7 hours while we are sleeping in our bedroom, we are exposed to light at night.
So, you know, we're coming up to a break right now. But as we approach the break, I'm sitting here in my hotel room, and there's a compact fluorescent light that's illuminating my desk. And we have to talk more about the compact fluorescent lights, how they emit a shorter wave spectrum, that blue wave spectrum, when we return after this break. This is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat, and my guest is Dr. Abraham Hayyam, who kindly has called into Healthy Vision from Israel, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning in his part of the world, and we're talking about light at night, and he feels this is the most dramatic environmental change that has occurred in the last 30 years. So we'd like to hear from you. If you do have some questions for Dr. Hyam, please give us a call at 602-277-KFNX or 866-536-1100. And we'll be right back after this break.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Dr. Kondrat is the world's only board-certified ophthalmologist and homeopathic physician. He's the author of two best-selling books, Healing the Eye the Natural Way and Microcurrent Stimulation Miracle Eye Cure. Anyone with eye-related problems needs these books. Dr. Kondrat talks to us in an easy-to-understand language, gives us many ways to help keep our eyes healthy, and discusses the medical ramifications of macular degeneration in a simple and straightforward manner. It is a joy to have a medical doctor finally embrace the many alternative medicine tools that are out there today in an intelligent manner and from experience. Learn how he can help you improve your eyesight and clarity of vision. Call now to order one or both books today. 1-800-430-9328. That's 1-800-430-9328.
Improve your vision and pass your driver's license. Dr. Kondrat's special program has been designed to improve your vision quickly. It includes both of his best-selling books, four CDs of The Best of Healthy Vision, a Snellen Acuity Chart, and a special audio CD on the steps you need to take to improve your vision quickly and pass your driver's test. A $120 value, yours for only $49.95. Discover how you can improve your vision quickly, without drugs, without surgery, and pass your vision test. Call 800-430-9328. 800-430-9328.
Are you interested in a consultation with Dr. Kondrat or one of his three-day programs? His three-day program is the best way to help you regain your vision loss. This comprehensive program includes an extensive diagnosis based on homeopathic principles, daily lectures on the essentials to improve your vision, and 3 days of intensive treatments. Take this important step now. Call 1-800-430-9328 to learn more about this special program. His three-day program is the best way to help you regain your vision loss. Call 1-800-430-9328.
The Lars Larson Show is on the air.
I think that this was fantastic for America, that bin Laden is dead, that the Navy SEALs did a fantastic job, that the CIA did a fantastic job. Unlike some people, I was overjoyed to see young people out in the streets of New York City and Washington, D.C. at the White House singing patriotic songs, including the national anthem, and they were happy that America had caught and killed a terrorist.
Lars Larson, weeknights at 10 on KFNX. Log on now at 1100kfnx.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Healthy Vision. This is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat, and my guest is Dr. Abraham Hyam, and we're talking about light at night, the dangers of light at night. And, Professor, I wanted to just make a clarify something. When you refer to short wavelengths, for the listeners, this is light that's more towards the blue spectrum. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, it is towards the blue spectrum, like the fluorescent illumination and the, what is called today the environmentally friendly bulbs.
And of course, they're not environmentally friendly. They're extremely environmentally toxic.
Yeah. But these are the worst bulbs to be used.
Well, I really want to hear about your scientific studies and your findings. I think it's important that the listeners hear the facts to support this. This isn't theory. There are strong facts that really demonstrate the hazards of these short wavelengths.
In this case, I must refer, first of all, to a study carried by Swiss scientists who showed that exposure to short wavelength at night stops the production of melatonin and keeps the people on alert. While they were having the same exposure, but to yellow light, they didn't have these negative effects. So it's very important to emphasize that the wavelength plays a very important role. And when we are exposed to yellow, so longer wavelength, so it's the red. It's not so even on the same intensity. It won't be so bad as the shortwave or the blue light that is becoming so popular, and I think that we should need to stop illuminating at least our homes and go back to the classical wavelength that we have been using for so many years till the friendly, environmental friendly bulbs came in.
So maybe you could discuss melatonin.
Melatonin is a hormone that is produced under dark condition at night in the pineal gland. And if we interfere with illumination, mainly with short wavelength illumination, we stop the production of melatonin. Now, melatonin, which is called also the Dracula hormone because it's exposed, secreted at night, it's produced and secreted at night, has many functions that it fills in our body. And I would say that it's like a jack of all trades. And maybe one of the most important roles that it plays in protecting our body is being a scavenger of free radicals. It is a very strong and efficient antioxidant. And therefore, it removes free radicals that may interfere, for instance, with the replication of the DNA. So, suppressing the production of melatonin by light at night can cause real damage, and we think that this would happen to you.
Now, I know in my patients that I deal with, I think that the interference of the melatonin production is strongly linked to macular degeneration. But in your research, in addition to eye problems, you have discovered that there's actually an increased incidence of certain types of cancer.
Yeah,
when you're exposed at light at night. I wonder if you could talk about some of the study that you've conducted.
Thank you for the question. It's mainly two types of cancer in women, in females. It's going to be the breast cancer, and in men, it's the prostate gland cancer. And we could show, for instance, in an animal model, that when you expose mice inoculated with the cancer cells, when they are exposed to light at night, the rate of the increase of the tumor is significantly higher when you compare them with mice that are not exposed to light at night. However, when you treat such mice that are exposed to light at night with melatonin, the increase rate of the tumor or the proliferation of the cells decreases significantly, which shows that at least one of the things that happens when we expose people to light at night is going to be the suppression of melatonin production. Another point that can come out from the results of our studies suggests that light at night, when we go, I mean, if we put on the light in the room, we go from dark into high-intensity light. This is quite stressful for the eye, and we can measure an increase in stress hormones due to such a change in our illumination or illuminated environment.
There's two negative things.
There are
two negative things.
And the
stress hormones.
Yes. Now, melatonin, we must remember, it's the hormone that sends a message to the cells of our body in regards to the time of the day and when it's secreted. It's going to, from the pineal gland, it's going to be night or dark, and when it's not secreted, it's daytime. But if it is secreted for a longer period within the 24-hour cycle, our cells and tissues will know that this is a short day or a long night, which refers to winter. And when the levels of melatonin are low and they are secreted from the pineal gland for a shorter period, so then the cells and the tissues know that this is summer. Now, what happens when we interfere with light? So when we work with animals that are exposed to short day, which needs to be simulating winter, and we give them light, then they are, light is night, then they are confused because the melatonin secretion is suppressed. So we call it, we could show, not in regards to cancer, but in regards to, say, the thermoregulatory system, and we call the phenomena seasons out of time, because the animals think they are in summer and not in winter, because just interfering with light at night. And it can be for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, for a very short period with animal models. With humans, it may take a longer time.
You know, and right now, so many people have sleep disorders, and they're exposing themselves to unwanted light at night in their bedroom or spending more time with computers and television, and we're losing this natural cycle. And I can remember I was really impressed with the satellite map of the Earth that you showed at night. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about this, the patterns, the patches of light, and your statistical analysis, and how you showed that these patches of light at night are expanding more and more with modern technology, and the increase in cancer, et cetera, is increasing proportional to the light.
We first showed in Israel that there is a co-distribution between light at night and breast cancer. Sorry?
Yes, you can continue. We got 2 minutes for the break, but we got plenty of time to cover it.
So, and when we got the data for the breast cancer from the National Cancer Registry in Israel, and we from satellites we could get the data on illumination of the Earth, and we could show that there is a co-distribution between breast cancer and light at night. We did not find such a co-distribution when we were looking at the breast cancer incidence in Israel. And then we did it also worldwide, and we did it also for the prostate cancer. And we could see that both breast cancer and prostate cancer co-distribute in the worldwide with light at night. Now, we must remember that electrical power is becoming much more accessible to many countries, and one of the outcomes of an access to electricity.
Well, we're coming up to a break right now, and this is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat, and my guest is Abraham Hayim, and we'll be right back after this break.
Radio, I'm Shelby Lynn. President Obama is demanding answers about Osama bin Laden and how he remained in hiding in Pakistan for so long without notice. On CBS's 60 Minutes, the president says he thinks bin Laden had a support network and that Pakistani officials are now looking into it. Record rainfall and snowmelt are pushing the Mississippi River up over its banks and into surrounding communities for miles around in six states. Thousands of people have been evacuated. In Memphis, Vernie Reichling is with the Army Corps of Engineers.
We are in historic times. Over the last 2 weeks, we have received over 600% plus of rainfall, and that is what is causing this historic conditions on the Mississippi.
Memphis is expecting the river to crest in a couple of days, well above flood stage. The new superhero movie Thor dominated the weekend box office, making $66 million. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. We are windy this afternoon and this evening in advance of a dry California front. Mid-90s today, but only low 80s tomorrow and Tuesday. Some showers north of town, partly cloudy in the valley. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 92 degrees.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Hi, this is Dave from Safe and Save Pool Chemist. Are you using a floater? Stop wasting your money and harming your health. When using a floater, the chlorine is concentrated at the top few inches of pool water, right where your face is. Chlorine fumes are harming your lungs and wreaking havoc on your hair, skin, and eyes. So what is the solution? The patented sunken treasure from Safe and Save Pool Chemist. This ingenious device uses the same chlorine tablets you use in a floater, yet when you put a tablet in, it sinks to the bottom, completely sanitizing your pool from the bottom up. When the tablet is completely dissolved, the sunken treasure floats to the top, letting you know it is ready for a refill. Just one tab in a sunken treasure does a much better job at chlorinating your pool and is healthier for your family than 3 to 5 tabs in a floater. Best of all, sunken treasure only costs $20 and it will even last up to 10 times longer than a floater. Call Safe and Save Pool Chemist, 480-610-9090. That's 480-610-9090. Or visit the website at safeandsavepoolchemist.com. That's safe, the letter N, savepoolchemist.com.
A child is taken, but there is hope through the Arizona Amber Alert. An Amber Alert provides the public with information that could lead to the safe recovery of a child. When a child is missing, everyone plays an important role. To learn more about the details of a specific Amber Alert, dial 511 or go to azamberalert.org. Together, we can all help save a child. Sponsored by the Arizona Department of Transportation, aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune in for Weekend Talk That Matters, only on KFNX.
Welcome back to Healthy Vision. This is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat, and my guest is Professor Abraham Hayem, and we're talking about one of the most dramatic environmental changes in the last 130 years, this phenomena of light at night. So we'd like to hear from you. If you have a question for Professor Hayem, you can call in at 602-277-KFNX or toll free, 800-536-1100. And Professor, critics will say, okay, you take these satellite maps and Phoenix has a hot spot of light at night, New York, Los Angeles, all the major cities. Isn't the cancer then, can it be correlated with stress, environmental changes, and not light?
It's a very good question. When we take, for instance, the lung cancer, we use it as a negative control. If it would have correlated or co-distributed with light, so you could have said that there are no differences between breast cancer and between lung cancer. Now, as we understand much better today the mechanism, it shows really that we were selecting the right negative control for our analysis. We know that lung cancer has to do with air pollution or has to do with smoking. And here we can show we have questionnaires coming from women that are sick with breast cancer and questionnaires coming from control groups. And we can see that in the case of breast cancer, light at night is the most significant
have a caller on the line, Professor Higham. Is it Lena from Tempe?
Hello. Yes.
You're on the air with Dr. Kondrat and Professor Higham.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Kondrat. I am so happy that you were on the air again. I remember you had a program a few years ago, and I'm so happy I found you. Now, I have so much to ask. Should my question only be to the light that you're talking about now?
Yeah, I would prefer that you focus your questions more towards the light, because we have to take advantage of Professor Higham. It's 3 o'clock in the morning in Israel, and he's such a brilliant person that if you do have any questions about light and eye disease, we should take advantage of his
okay,
time.
Okay, I will do that. First of all, let me say that my pupils do not dilate at night, and nobody has given me a response to that. Number two, because I do have macular degeneration, and it is so hard for me to read now, that the only time that I can read is in the morning when the sunlight shines through my window, and then I could make out the words much better. And as far as melatonin goes, the supplements that are sold in the health food stores, where does it come from? Does the melatonin come from an animal? One of the companies told me it came from a plant. Is that valid?
Well, I'd like Professor Higham to talk about, I'm sure he's going to agree that if you have reading to do or any type of visual activity, you're much better off doing
it in the
daytime.
We had the
music. It was music to my ears to hear that you were reading using the sunlight.
And we must remember that we are diurnal organisms. Night, for many years, was the time that we could not read. We can read because of the artificial illumination. We should read, first of all, at daytime.
Yes, but that's because I can't read at night because of my vision loss. So, although I always like to read in the sunlight anyway, but now I have no choice.
Well, your body, I believe your body has the wisdom, and your body's telling you, I have macular degeneration, and by using light at night, it's actually going to harm my eyes. And it's interesting, there was a study done in China where they gave a group of people with macular degeneration a dose of melatonin, 3 milligrams at night, and they made sure that they slept in a dark room. And those steps alone, the majority of patients had an improvement of vision.
Okay, so where does the melatonin come from?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure myself. Dr. Higham, do you know where the melatonin comes from in a commercial?
There could be certain sources for melatonin, but I don't want to say what I don't know. We know, for instance, that in algae there are very high levels of melatonin. So, but I don't know if most of it's produced in biotechnological methods. So it's not something that in the pills that you buy that would be natural. So, but another thing that I would like to suggest to you is maybe you need to sleep with a mask on your eyes. If you say that you have a problem with the pupils, maybe as our eyelids are not barriers, if you sleep in a dark room or even and you put a mask on your eyes, I think that you will protect yourself much better than just having your eyelids exposed to light that may come from outside or from the house.
You know, her question, too, may lead into another topic, because typically abnormalities of the pupil have to do with abnormalities of the autonomic nervous system. Yeah. And Professor Haim, you mentioned earlier that light at night will also interfere with the cortisol levels, which will adversely affect the nervous system, autonomic nervous system. Maybe you could comment on that.
I think that if you look at what happens under natural condition, the sympathetic part is going to increase in the late afternoon, and then it decreases when the melatonin is secreted. So if we are exposed to light, then the melatonin won't be secreted, and we stay in a high alert. So now, one of the things that is very important also to remember is that aging also has an effect on our pineal gland and secretion of melatonin. We secrete a lot of melatonin when we are young, but we are living much more than what we are expected to live, and we are secreting less when we grow older.
The comment
on the source of melatonin, I looked it up in my book here, and there are many plants that do have a fairly high concentration of melatonin.
Yeah.
St. John wort's, feverfew, white mustard, fenugreek, sunflower seed.
Yes.
So,
but I don't think that the industrial ones come from the plants. We can use plants, and I believe that our ancestors used plants, but we are not using them so much.
Okay, I am happy to hear that melatonin does come from a plant, because one source told me that it came from an animal, and that would have been difficult for me because I'm a vegetarian.
One thing to remember is melatonin can be an aid, but I believe if you limit your exposure to light at night and sleep in a totally dark room, that will stimulate the melatonin in your body. You don't need an artificial source. Nature has provided us with a wonderful circadian rhythm of light and dark, and I think it's very important that a person sleeps in a totally dark room and limit the exposure to unwanted artificial light, especially those of the blue spectrum while sleeping.
Okay, and I do sleep in a dark room because I've known about this for a while, so I do sleep in a dark room.
Very good.
Okay, doctors, thank you both so much for all
thank
your
you so
help.
Much for, thank you so much for your call.
Well,
Professor Haya, maybe you could briefly describe the difference between artificial light and natural light, because people are less and less exposure to natural light.
Okay. When we think of natural light, we can see changes in intensity. But the changes are not only in intensity, they're also in wavelength. And I know that back at home they tell us, at least in summer, to...
Well, you know what, we're coming up to a break right now. And when we return, you're listening to Healthy Vision. This is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat. And my guest is Professor Haim. We're talking about light at night. And when we return, we'll talk more about the difference between natural and artificial light.
Arizona's News Talk Leader. KFNX, AM 1100.
Dr. Kondrat is the world's only board-certified ophthalmologist and homeopathic physician. He's the author of two best-selling books, killing the eye the natural way, and Microcurrent Stimulation Miracle Eye Cure. Anyone with eye-related problems needs these books. Dr. Kondrat talks to us in an easy-to-understand language, gives us many ways to help keep our eyes healthy, and discusses the medical ramifications of macular degeneration in a simple and straightforward manner. It is a joy to have a medical doctor finally embrace the many alternative medicine tools that are out there today in an intelligent manner and from experience. Learn how he can help you improve your eyesight and clarity of vision. Call now to order one or both books today. 1-800-430-9328. That's 1-800-430-9328.
Improve your vision and pass your driver's license. Dr. Kondrat's special program has been designed to improve your vision quickly. It includes both of his best-selling books, four CDs of The Best of Healthy Vision, a Snellen Acuity Chart, and a special audio CD on the steps you need to take to improve your vision quickly and pass your driver's test. A $120 value, yours for only $49.95. Discover how you can improve your vision quickly, without drugs, without surgery, and pass your vision test. Call 800-430-9328. 800-430-9328.
Are you interested in a consultation with Dr. Kondrat or one of his three-day programs? His three-day program is the best way to help you regain your vision loss. This comprehensive program includes an extensive diagnosis based on homeopathic principles, daily lectures on the essentials to improve your vision, and 3 days of intensive treatments. Take this important step now. Call 1-800-430-9328 to learn more about this special program. His three-day program is the best way to help you regain your vision loss. Call 1-800-430-9328.
Hi, my name is Denver Nois with EquityForProfit.com. If you're like most Americans, the IRS is going to get at least 20 to 30% of your retirement income, maybe more. Your IRA, your 401k, your SEP, deferred comp are all 100% taxable as income when you take it out. And with taxes only going up, most people pay more in taxes than they ever earned on their investments. But there is a solution. Certain low-cost life insurance policies let you grow unlimited amounts of money tax-free and create tax-free income that's invisible to the IRS. It works like a Roth IRA with no income or contribution limits, and you can access the money anytime for any reason. On our website, you can read a detailed overview of how this works, watch videos explaining this proven tax-free strategy, and listen to recordings of our weekly radio show. The website is EquityForProfit.com. That's EquityForProfit.com. If all you're doing is saving into taxable accounts, it's time to learn how to build tax-free wealth and take advantage of a massive IRS-approved tax shelter most people never use. Go to EquityForProfit.com and stop paying so much in taxes.
Check us out on the web at 1100KFNX.com.
Welcome back to Healthy Vision. This is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat. With me is Professor Abraham Hyatt. And we're discussing what he considers the most dramatic environmental change in the last 130 years that is adversely affecting our health. And this is the phenomena of light at night. And this is linked to cancer, obesity, and eye disorders, including macular degeneration. So let's please describe the important differences between artificial light and natural light. Why is artificial light so harmful to our health?
Okay. If we look what happens on the natural conditions, so in the early hours of the day and then towards noon, we can see an increase in light intensity, but we must remember that the wavelength that comes to our planet is mainly a lot of shortwave. Illumination comes from the sun, and for instance, back at home here in Israel, they tell us that during summer you should not go or you should not expose yourself to the sun between 10 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 4 o'clock in the afternoon and later, there is a change. And then, towards sunset, what we can see is that there is a change in the wavelength, and the radiation is mainly of long wavelength. So, and if we look at the sky, the clouds become reddish, and the sky becomes close in the late afternoon, and definitely close to sunset, we can see that it is red. Now, at night, it should be dark, and if we try to use artificial illumination, we should go on with the the wavelength and bring it back to midday, which is the short wave or the blue light, which is in about 460 nanometers. So the illumination of yellow light, yellow towards red, seems to be at least much healthier for our body because it's not going to suppress the melatonin production, while the wavelength of 460 or between 460 and 550 nanometers, which means between the blue and the yellow, these have an effect on the suppression of melatonin. And therefore, what happens is if you are not producing melatonin in this time of the night, we are missing something, and it's very far from the normal condition.
So what do you recommend? You know, this information is just so shocking to me. What steps would you give advice to the listeners on how to balance their circadian rhythm? What are the key essentials for people to take, key steps?
I think there are two important things, one for the daytime and one for night. First of all, I think that daytime, it's good to be exposed for a short period, at least, to the natural illumination. It doesn't mean that you need to expose yourself directly to the sun. But if you are outside, you are depressing the melatonin production, which needs to be depressed at daytime. But when we are talking about the night, you must give the system the best conditions for producing melatonin. And then definitely what you need to do is select against the short wavelength, which is again between 460 or below and 550. You need to be exposed to illumination, which is in a relatively a long wave from yellow, orange to towards red. So then you are not interfering with the production of melatonin. And another thing is not to use very high light intensity. We are using too much illumination, and I'm sure that we don't need to illuminate the whole room for reading. We can have a reading lamp and read close to it. What we are doing is we are illuminating too much, and this is causing light pollution in our environment because it leaks out from our homes. And in addition to all the advertisements that are using illumination and illuminating homes and streets and sports centers, all this is causing what we call today light pollution. And this should be changed in the very close future. Otherwise, I think that we are in a big environmental problem.
Yeah, and it's really a problem, Professor, here in the United States, because we're being forced to use the compact fluorescent lights. You know, most homes 5 years ago were entirely incandescent lights, which had more light towards the red spectrum, and now the government is making it mandatory to have the compact fluorescent lights. And how do you think this is going to affect the health of our country?
I think it's going to have a negative effect, and I think that it's a mistake. It's not too late to go back to the incandescent illumination. And if we want to reduce CO2 production, we just need to use less light or to produce less light. And I'm sure that this can be done. And we must restrict also the levels of illumination at certain hours of the night. We don't need to have advertisements going with or using light going all the on the whole night, and at a certain time, by regulation, they can be put off.
So, some of your research. Some of your research indicated that our bodies sense light through the skin. So you did some work with blind mice.
Yes. What we showed with the mole rat is that although the mole rat is considered blind and it has degenerative eyes under the skin, these eyes can pick light and the nose to distinguish between short wavelengths and long wavelengths. And so the light can penetrate very easily the integument. And we know that the light penetrates our integument, and we produce vitamin D when we are exposed to the sun. So, but if we go again to the story of light at night, night should be dark. And if it's not dark, at least we should try and avoid the short wavelength or the blue part of the spectrum and go to the yellow, orange part of the spectrum. And I think then we are going to do much better than what we are doing today and reducing the light intensity.
Because
and definitely
people,
keeping
many,
a dark, sleeping in a dark room.
Yeah, many people feel that just by putting a sleep mask on that this can be a substitute. And
it could be a good solution, yes. It can be a good solution, yes.
But I was under the impression that you have to be in a totally dark room, that even with a sleep mask, light exposure to the skin can interfere with the pineal gland and the melatonin.
Yeah, but not through an artificial mask that avoids the penetration of light, if it is thick enough, okay? So then they won't know if it is light outside or not.
Well, we're coming up to a close on Healthy Vision, and Professor Haim, I want to thank you very much for taking time out to be a guest on Healthy Vision and for your comments. You're listening to Healthy Vision. This is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat, and wishing you good health and clear vision until we meet again next week for Healthy Vision.
Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
You're listening to KFNX 1100, Cave Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham. Weekdays 6 to 9 a.m., KFNX News Time. It's 6 o'clock.